Parker and stayed on 90.5 WKAR. Myeloproliferative neoplasms, or MPNs, are rare blood cancers that cause the body to produce too many blood cells. And the symptoms often mimic other diseases. Some people can go for years without even realizing they have an MPN. But new diagnostic tools mean that the number of patients identified as having MPNs is increasing. Advocates and patients in mid-Michigan are working to raise awareness of this disease this September during Blood Cancer Awareness Month. And joining us now to talk about MPNs are Ann Brazzo, CEO of MPN Advocacy and Education International, and Julie Grinnell, a patient living with MPN. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Ann, what is MPN and how does it affect patients?
Wow, that's a big question. First of all, we focus on three myeloproliferative neoplasms, and those are polycythemia vera, myelofibrosis, and essential thrombocythemia. All three are unique, but they are also very similar. Many are cause blood clotting. Some cause issues with bleeding. And every patient, it's a very heterogeneous disease because every patient responds differently to different treatments. No one is on one treatment. There are very few treatments available for these patients. One was approved by the FDA a couple years ago, which is Jakafi. It's an Incyte product, and it's the first medication that was approved by the FDA in over 35 years for this disease. So many of the patients, if they are on medications, take something that is for a different disease. And Julie can kind of speak to some of those issues because she is also on a drug that is considered off-label. In other words, it is a drug actually for hepatitis C, and it's an interferon. And if you want to speak to that a little bit.
It's an injectable medication that I started to take about 4 years ago. I get a weekly injection. They switched me to it because the oral medication that I was on wasn't working as well to control my symptoms and my clotting episodes. And but now after 4 years, we're finding that I may be building a resistance to it.
Oh, wow. So that's
right.
That we may be kind of looking for the next,
right,
whatever the next treatment is. I want to get back to how long this disease has been known for. It sounded sort of like it might be relatively newly discovered, but you said 35 years, so maybe not.
Well, the disease has been around for many, many years. I think I forgot the original researcher who discovered it. Do you remember his name?
No.
Van Schenker, I believe.
That's okay.
But anyway, kind of a timeline.
I
think 1930s or 40s.
Okay.
And Julie and I were talking earlier about the prevalence and incidence of the disease, and so it's been around for a long time. What we have discovered and what the MPN researchers have discovered is, first of all, will it be a rare disease in the near future? Because more and more people are being diagnosed. Is that because of environmental issues? Is it because the genetic mutations, or more and more genetic mutations, are being discovered? But also the fact that more people are having CBCs or complete blood counts annually, that is one way for sure to find out if a person has an MPN. So, you know, there are a lot of contributing factors to why this may be on the rise, why more and more people are being diagnosed. But in our estimation, Dr. Ruben Mesa from the Mayo Clinic is my scientific advisor. He is an expert in myeloproliferative neoplasms. And he and I have discussed on multiple occasions that, you know, a rare disease is considered 200,000 people or less in the U.S., and we believe that those numbers have surpassed, the numbers of MPN patients have surpassed that number, and possibly up to 500,000.
Wow. Okay. So, Julie, what was your experience kind of from the beginning of your diagnosis or before your diagnosis when you realized that something was going on with your health?
Well, I was diagnosed in 2008, but I had been having symptoms for many years before that. But I didn't realize that they were symptoms of an illness. Things like itching, fatigue. Itching's a big symptom with MPNs.
Pruritus.
Mm-hmm. Raises your histamine levels. And I, you know, these symptoms I didn't realize were because of an MPN. In 2008, my symptoms became severe to the point where it affected my work. And I visited my doctor and told him what was going on. And luckily, he was my general doctor, but he had an idea about MPNs and essential thrombocythemia. So when he ran me through these batteries of tests and everything was coming back normal except for my platelet count, he saw that as a red light and sent me to a hematologist, oncologist, and we were able to make the diagnosis. They tested me for the genetic mutation, and it came back positive.
So perhaps if he hadn't been aware of this disease,
right,
it might have been harder to diagnose.
He would have just seen a high platelet count and maybe glossed over it a little bit.
That has been a major issue with the diagnosis of patients, the misdiagnosis of patients. We have, and especially with women, I hate to say that, but it's the truth, and thus our initiative for women in MPN. It's a new initiative we started this year, and we'll host an event just for women in 2015 for the first time. But with women, many of their symptoms do mimic possibly issue with menses or, you know, issues with childbearing and so on. And so often the physician isn't keeping a close track or isn't really paying attention to the blood issue. They're looking at the other symptoms and saying, well, it must be this. And, you know, Julie has had major issues with her, I believe, with your pregnancies or after your pregnancies.
I've had issues with blood clots. I have had blood clots land in the retinas of my eyes temporarily lost sight in my eyes from blood clots, and it's affected the circulation in my hands. And
we're having a conversation about MPNs with Ann Brazo, who is the CEO of MPN Advocacy and Education International, and Julie Grinnell, who's a patient living with MPN. Before I want to ask you, Julie, a little bit more about getting through this and how you've coped with the diagnosis. But one thing I'm wondering for either of you is this one of those, there seems to be kind of a hierarchy of the cancers that everyone knows about, you know, the pink ribbon, the breast cancer, the hometown where I live every year turns pink and there are certain, and now we have, you know, ALS obviously isn't a cancer, but there seems to be a hierarchy of cancers that are well known that get a lot of funding. Does the rarity, relative rarity of this condition mean that it's harder to get research dollars
for? Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, research dollars are dwindling. Many of them came from the NIH, and that has been dwindling over the last several years. The MPN Research Foundation in Chicago funds quite a bit of unique MPN research. They've been pivotal in helping with the research dollars, and most of those come from individuals. But yes, I think you make an excellent point that there is a hierarchy, and MPNs have been way down on that list. We are in the last, I believe, since 2005, one of the major genetic markers was discovered, and it's called JAK2. And with that discovery, there has been a huge explosion in the field. And so it is a little less, odd to talk to somebody. I mean, for example, my neighbor has this disease, you know, and my daughter's physician has this disease. So there is more awareness, and there are more things happening in the field, but it is still down that list.
Right. Julie, what have been some of the challenges you've faced since your diagnosis with treatment, and also just with the mental and emotional aspects of dealing with having this?
Well, I'm no longer able to work. I have good days and bad days, and on my good days I could go to work, but there's too many bad days for an employer to want to keep me with them. Mm-hmm. But the emotional aspect of it is just as big as the physical. I mean, the physical, you have a lot of pain and fatigue, a lot of other issues, but emotionally, with it being a rare disease and not being able to get a lot of information, there's a certain element of fear, fear of the unknown. Also, this illness puts me at a high risk for strokes and heart attacks, so there's a fear of something sudden happening. I'm very lucky to have a great group of friends and family that have been very supportive, but there's still, it's more difficult, and I think as a woman that adds to it, it's very difficult to talk to people about those fears. When somebody asks me how I'm doing, I might give them a little bit of a physical rundown, but I don't talk to them about the fear and the apprehension. And
have you found any kind of support group locally?
Yes.
or even online?
Yes, through Ann.
I started the Michigan support group probably about 8 years ago, and we were just talking about how we needed to have another support group meeting. But we also, the MPN Advocacy and Education International, offers as many resources as we can for patients and for caregivers. And Facebook has been, you know, social media has exploded on the scene as well. And we try to offer as much as we can. But Julie makes a very good point, 2 points actually. One, this is not a contained cancer. This is blood cancer, which runs through your entire body. So it's not capsulized. It's not in your chest or someplace else. It is everywhere. And there are lots of issues that surround that fact, number one. And two, Julie's been a patient now for 8 years. And is that correct?
Six years.
I'm sorry. And the fact that she still has to deal with some of the fear of discussing this with other people, or if our patients suffer fatigue tremendously, a tremendous amount of fatigue, that's difficult to discuss with other people, because I think in this society that is racing from point A to point B, that the expectation that you better be on and you better be with it and you better be working twice as hard as the person next
right.
to you, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on our patients who suffer grave fatigue.
There's a stigma of laziness.
Yes.
Right, right. And harder for people if they can't see right in front of their face what a cast
right.
on your leg.
But
whatever.
You don't look
right.
sick.
Yes.
Right.
And
yeah.
we've brought people on to our symposia that talk about you don't look sick.
Right. Well, we do appreciate both of you joining us and talking about your experiences and in your group there. Ann Brazo is the CEO of MPN Advocacy and Education International, and Julie Grinnell is a patient living with MPN. Best of luck to both of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks.